Hey, welcome to another edition of The Time Blueprint. I'm Walter Storholt alongside Frank Oliver. And on today's show, we're going to be talking about retirement planning's hidden questions. The world is filled with plenty of advice and suggestions, especially when it comes to financial stuff. But there are some critical questions that, if we want to be dramatic, Frank, lurk in the shadows.
I'll do it, man. I could be lurky. It's Halloween.
It is. That's right. We are recording this day before Halloween.
Right.
So we should have done a Halloween edition and
dressed up in some costumes, right?
All right. Next year, we'll
all
do
right.
that.
All right. I may have a mask floating around the office. We could
just pop in at the end of the show.
Exactly.
All right, we'll see what we can come up with. Anyway, we'll uncover these hidden questions, talk about why they're important, and help you better prepare for retirement. That plus a listener question and more on today's episode. Stay tuned.
Welcome to The Time Blueprint with Frank Oliver of Oliver Asset Management. Here we break down taxes, income, money, and estate planning, giving you the tools to make informed financial decisions and aim for better retirement outcomes. Your host is financial advisor Frank Oliver, the president and founder of Oliver Asset Management. He's the author of Your Time Is Now, sharing the essentials you need to know to craft a comprehensive and customized retirement plan. Dive in with us as we offer clear strategies and straightforward advice, all designed to empower you in your financial journey. Welcome to The Time Blueprint.
Well, Frank, welcome back. Good to see you.
Good to see you too, Walter.
How's life treating you?
Life is great. Life is great. Broncos won.
The Broncos did win.
Yeah, you gotta love that.
Right? Yeah, you're flying high from that. We had our first snow for anybody that's local to Colorado.
Yep.
Probably joined us in that this past
weekend.
It was great.
The snow was amazing. We needed it. So first snow, went pheasant hunting over the weekend. So first snow, first hunt, first Bronco win against the Chiefs in like 15 seasons.
Yeah, something crazy like that.
15 games. Yeah, exactly. So
good start to winter then.
That's right. Good weekend. Yeah.
Nice. Very good.
How was yours?
It was great. We finally like slowed down for once and didn't go too crazy. I mean,
that's good.
I don't know. I did get up at 6 and go and see the sunrise and take pictures of the birds during the middle of the snowstorm and got into it. So it was fun.
I'll have to introduce you to my friend. I have a friend that's a professional photographer and he does Friday photo and puts it on Facebook.
Oh, cool.
Friday. It's beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I'm just aspiring, just starting out. So I'll definitely take some tips. Well, speaking of tips, let's get into our retirement tips of the day. Our main topic today are those hidden questions in retirement. And so we got a couple of good ones to talk about here, Frank. And we'll see how many we cover on the podcast today. But these would be those questions, I guess, that maybe people don't even know they need to ask. Maybe they're just slightly more specific than most people know to be thinking about or inquiring about. So, but nonetheless, very important. So we know part of the time blueprint is a big piece of that equation is taxes. So let's start there. That's the big T, in fact, in the time blueprint. So the question is that's often hidden is how much are my tax deferred savings going to cost me in taxes when I get to retirement? So that's that extra nuance and why it's sort of a hidden question, right?
Right. And that's an outstanding question, Walter. Probably one of the biggest components in our financial planning is when we do talk about taxes. And I think we talk about this a lot at our workshops and our classes, the book that I wrote, Your Time Is Now. And I think what a lot of people don't realize is the double-edged sword when it comes to retirement planning and tax-deferred savings. Everybody's motivated by fear and greed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so fear is, you know, losing your money. Greed is, you know, making more money or trying to save as much money as you can now. And I think what happens is when we defer a lot of our income into tax-deferred retirement accounts, it feels really good because we're getting a tax break that day.
Right.
Not everybody's always happy the way the IRS spends our money, so it's kind of like, you know, it feels like we're getting back at them a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Plus, we're saving a little bit of money. And there are some compounding effects to that where you save money and it's going to grow a little bit better over time because you're putting it into that tax-deferred retirement account. I don't think a lot of people look further enough down the road and around that bend to ask themselves, where am I going to be at retirement when I have to start now liquidating those accounts and those gears spin the opposite direction? Honestly, 75% of my clients are in an equal tax bracket at retirement as they are when they're working. And when they have to start to unwind that and start to pull money out, it hurts from a tax perspective.
Yeah.
It does.
A lot of people think when they get to retirement, they're going to be in a lot lower tax bracket.
Right.
Maybe that was the case a couple decades ago, but not really anymore. And that's why now these tax deferred savings are such a big deal.
Right. And I think that's kind of just, you know, retirement planning 101 is to defer those taxes. And there is some, you know, there's some benefit to that, but I think there's got to be a balance, you know.
Okay.
How much do we have in a brokerage account, like a taxable non-qualified account versus a tax-deferred account? Mm. And how much do we have in our tax-free account? There's got to be some equality in those three buckets. And I think people, typically 85% of America is much more overfunded in the tax deferred bucket. And sometimes that can cause some problems, especially when it comes to maybe an emergency expense, a nice vacation, a new car, deferred maintenance and repairs on the house. We talk about this even in our book.
You think you're going to go take out $30,000 to put in a new roof, let's say, and you don't realize that if you're pulling that out of a 401k or traditional tax status, tax deferred savings account, you're not pulling out $30,000 to pay for that roof. You're pulling out $45,000 or just ballparking a number.
So let's say that you're $1 away from the 22% tax bracket, mm-hmm. and that entire $30,000 is in the 22% tax bracket. It's pretty easy math.
Yeah.
That's $6,600, $6,600 in taxes.
Yeah. So you've got a partner in that account, Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
And more people need to have kind of that realization.
Yeah. We used to say an IRA is an IOU to the IRS.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yes. I like that saying. Yes. I mean, don't like that saying.
But there's a lot of truth to it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good saying about a not good thing.
Right. Yeah. It's a good way to remember.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. I'm sure we could spend a whole podcast, as we did, talking about taxes, one whole episode, sure. Just a couple of episodes back. About that particular topic. If you've got further questions about how you can maybe talk about your tax-deferred savings, and if you do have a lot of your money in tax-deferred savings, you don't have that balance that you're talking about, Frank, get in touch with Frank and the team, of course, here on the Time Blueprint and all of our asset management. You can call 720-897-TIME to get in touch, or go online to oliverassetmanagement.com. We've got all that contact information in the description of today's show, whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on your favorite podcast app. All right, another hidden question here, Frank, has to do with withdrawals, and it's how much can I withdraw from my savings each year? So many people spend so much attention on that, how big do I need to make my savings number, right. and not so much on that backslope.
Right, and I think this all comes down to planning again, but you know, there's a 4% rule that everybody talks about. Okay. So, you know, if you have $1 million saved, that's $40,000 a year. So the term being a millionaire is still a very prideful thing. It's a, it's a goal a lot of people try to achieve. But, you know, we tell folks that if you're a millionaire, that's, you're worth about $40,000 a year. Now, you know, there's some caveats to that. I think one is
but that's a wake-up call for people.
It is a wake-up call, because $1 million is a lot of money. It's very tough to save $1 million. Yeah. But you know, when you equate that to $40,000 a year, it is a big wake-up call, because $40,000 a year is not a lot of income in today's, you know.
For someone who has saved $1 million, that's probably a rarity that then someone would be like, okay, cool, that works.
Right, right. But I think when you're looking at the 4% withdrawal rule, is that to preserve all of your assets upon death? Is it okay to strategically deplete those assets a little bit? And what I mean by that is if you look at the time plan that we build for people, and they start off with $1 million, and let's say they end up passing away and they get $300,000 or $400,000 left over. Was that a happy, successful retirement? I think so, in my book. Mm-hmm. Do they really need to die with every nickel that they've saved, or should they be able to enjoy the fruits of their labor and maybe draw that down a little bit faster? I also think that your withdrawal rates and how much can you withdraw from your savings each year depends on your investments. If you're still invested as a accumulator, and you're in an aggressive position.
So higher risks, that kind of thing.
Much higher risk, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that market starts to bounce, like what we've seen in 23, where a big decline like we saw in 22, that's a recipe for disaster. Even the 4% rule may not accomplish your goals, being an ultra-aggressive investor kind of in that accumulation phase. So I think you really need to look at, now I'm going into a distribution phase, I'm decumulating that account, I'm coming back down that hill, and I need an entirely different set of tools to descend that mountain than I did when I was ascending that mountain.
Yeah.
And so we need to look at some safer alternatives. Luckily today, fixed income rates are much higher than they've been in the last 10 years due to the Fed's raising rates. So there's some good alternatives for us out there.
Everything you're talking about over that last 2 minutes is really important. And so that's all unlocked by asking that question.
Right.
And that's why it's one of these really important hidden questions.
Right. Perfect. Yeah. And I mean, really, what is your goal? Is your goal to die with $1 million, or is your goal to save $1 million, strategically deplete that and leave a nice legacy for the family, but also enjoy that in a very predictable, disciplined manner?
Yep. Very good. All right. So we've talked so far about tax-deferred savings, withdrawal rates a little bit. bit. Let's talk about life insurance. And a lot of people have an assumption that when you get to retirement or once the kids are out of the house, you don't need life insurance anymore. Right. It's just sort of this assumed thing. So then, again, why this is a hidden question, people then don't ask, well, should I have life insurance when I'm retired? Are there applications for that when it's appropriate?
Yeah, life insurance is always a controversial, I shouldn't say controversial, but an interesting topic in our meetings. I am actually a fan of life insurance for a few different reasons. I go back to time, taxes. Life insurance is a 100% income tax-free benefit. And I don't think people look at insurance as a tax tool. Insurance is the world's best tax tool that you could ever take advantage of. The death benefit is 100% income tax-free, transferred to the heirs, transferred to your spouse. The life insurance we use is more of a permanent insurance than it is a term insurance, meaning that it's guaranteed for the rest of your life. And that death benefit, let's say you have a $500,000 death benefit, that death benefit will also take care of you for in-home health, assisted living, long-term care. So instead of depleting your taxable tax-deferred assets that could cost you $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 a year in taxes, you could buy a tax-free life insurance policy. That $500,000 death benefit, as an example, now provides $500,000 in long-term care tax-free.
Okay.
Right. And if you ever need access to the cash, you can also withdraw that cash tax-free. So three different tax benefits there. And a lot of times, you know, we're talking about folks that have, you know, discretionary income that they don't need. Maybe the required distributions are more than they need. Why not take that money, do something powerful with it, take that required distribution that you're not spending, you know, look at purchasing something that's going to provide tax-free
fund
protection.
Fund that plan.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Yep. So really, it's more of a shift of the traditional way of thinking of life insurance when you have a family and you just want that basic term insurance for a lot of people. Yep. That's what they say, okay, I don't need term insurance anymore. They drop that. They don't think about insurance anymore. You're saying, let's look at this, some other insurance options that can be this great tool and have a lot of different uses.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Yep. Very cool. See if that's right for you. Don't hesitate to get in touch if you've got more questions about that hidden retirement question. While we're kind of talking a little about life insurance and maybe medical care, let's shift gears that direction a little bit. Another hidden question, what kind of medical coverage will I need over and above Medicare? Because for a lot of people, Medicare doesn't end up being covering everything.
Right. Well, I think if you're below 65, everybody should be funding, if your health insurance will allow it, it has to be a high deductible health insurance plan. But I think everybody should be funding an HSA account. One, you get a huge tax deduction on that. And then for qualified healthcare expenses later on in life, you have access to all those funds tax-free. Now, you can't fund it once you get Medicare, because Medicare is not a high deductible health insurance plan, but before that you can.
Okay.
Very, very important. And then once you get Medicare, everybody has the option to take a Medicare supplement plan or a Medicare Advantage plan. This is not necessarily my area of expertise, but I will encourage people to do a lot of research on this.
Okay.
We did offer Medicare plans, Medicare Advantage and Medicare supplement plans in our office here for a year. And some of the complications and challenges in trying to figure that out is much more than meets the eye. And I see in a lot of situations, folks will just go out and get the free alternative, which is the Medicare Advantage plan. Medicare Advantage plan comes with much higher copays, deductibles, out-of-pocket expenses. And one thing that I found very interesting on the Advantage plan is once you sign up for the Advantage plan, and let's say something deteriorates with your health, and you decide, you know what, we're going to have significant out-of-pocket expenses. We should have got the supplement instead of the Advantage plan. You know, let's look at upgrading to the supplement plan. You have to go through underwriting again, health underwriting. Okay. If your health doesn't qualify, you're stuck with the Advantage plan for the rest of your life with compromised health, with, you know, causing potentially a lot more out-of-pocket expenses.
Okay.
So something to be very careful on.
So at what age approximately should someone ask that question? So really look into Medicare
and pick
those options?
I'd start looking at 64.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, 64 and a half, I believe, is open enrollment. So you really want to start looking at age 64. Don't wait till the last day to make this decision.
Just start having those conversations a little earlier.
Yeah. And look for value, not price. You know, a supplement's going to cost you around $150 a month. And those prices are always, you know, those premiums are subject to change. But people are really allured to the Advantage plan. I'm not saying they're a terrible plan, but they're free for a reason. You get what you pay for.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's definitely true. We know that.
Are you ready to navigate the complexities of retirement with clarity and confidence? Let Oliver Asset Management be your guide. If you're ready to get serious about retirement, we can offer you a complimentary financial strategy session tailored just for you. You'll get to dive deep into your financial aspirations, uncover areas of opportunity, and set a clear roadmap toward your retirement goals. It's your opportunity to turn plans into actionable steps, all at no cost to you. make the move toward a better informed retirement, just schedule your free session today by visiting oliverassetmanagement.com or just click the link in the description of today's show.
All right, one more on my list here, Frank, would be how much am I really paying in fees and commissions? Is this a big topic in the office?
It's the number one question that comes out.
Is
not
really?
The number one question, but it comes out almost every meeting.
So this one's not so hidden.
Nothing hidden about this question. Frank, how much do you charge?
The fees may be hidden to some people.
Right.
So, okay, we could still get by with it that way.
The fees do come up quite a bit. And, you know, we all have to make a living. And I'm not saying that fees are not important. Fees are very important. And there probably are some firms that maybe, you know, charge more than they should. And I know there's some investments out there that the fee's probably a little bit higher than they should. And you can definitely look for some more efficient investment models out there. But I think the problem with exclusively looking at the fees is sometimes you may be compromising your portfolio, your level of service, and not really experiencing the value that a good advisor can bring to you, right? So when we charge a fee, we also look at Social Security timing. We help out with wealth transfer. We help out if they need an attorney. We look at Roth conversions. We're doing tax-free strategies, Roth conversions, income planning. When should I retire? I mean, there's a lot that goes with that fee.
Yeah.
And we don't charge any extra for that. We feel that that's a wrap fee that includes everything that we offer.
Okay.
Now, with that being said, you do have to be cognitive of investment models that have fees that are too high, or maybe you're paying a similar fee to what we charge, but not receiving the value of the service that you need. So definitely look into the fees, but don't let a fee, override your thought process on what can a good advisor, do for me. I was listening to a radio show, a financial show, driving home the other day, and it was a higher up with Vanguard. And Vanguard's model, for years, Vanguard's a great company, but their model was low fees, low service. They've recently just introduced a model where they're charging a fee for planning, because what they've determined is that people are really, really concerned about having a proper plan. And sometimes these do-it-yourself or fee-free models or low-cost alternatives that Vanguard offers doesn't really offer the kind of advice that a lot of retirees are seeking today.
Sure.
So even Vanguard has stepped up and are now charging a fee for that model
to
offer
extra work.
Some planning value. Exactly, some work. Yep.
So let's change that question. It's not how much am I paying in fees and commissions, but what's the value that I'm getting for the fees and commissions that I'm paying?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Because I think all the models in the industry and a lot of advisors should be charging a similar fee. I know that we're, average in the industry, but I think your advisor needs to be offering advice on, okay, Frank, when should I retire? If I want to retire next year, or do I need to work for another 3 or 4 years? When should I look Social Security? Can you tell me why that's the best day to look Social Security? I do not have a Roth IRA. How do I do this? And should I have done this before? And can you help me do a Roth IRA and structure this so I'm going to save money in taxes down the road and it's not going to annihilate me today and taxes? What happens if I pass away prematurely? How am I going to transfer these assets to my children? Do you have an attorney that can help me draft, some estate planning documents? I think those are the benefits and values that you should be looking for in an advisor.
Very good. Yep. If you are not engaged in that kind of planning at the moment, don't hesitate to reach out to Frank and the great team at Oliver Asset Management. You can schedule a free review online, in fact, to go over your situation and see how you might be a good fit to work with Frank and where you might have some improvements in that financial plan. You can schedule that online at oliverassetmanagement.com. That's oliverassetmanagement.com. Or call 720-897-TIME. That's 720-897-8463. And we'll put that contact info again in the description of today's show. Frank, before we move on to the next part of the podcast, I'll turn the floor back over to you. Any additional hidden questions that you often kind of think people should be asking more about or that ever come to the top of your mind but might get overlooked by folks?
Well, I think just, and people ask me that a lot, and I always refer back to time, right?
Yeah.
I really do. And, a lot of times we'll determine what kind of questions we should be posing for, our prospective clients. And as people get closer to retirement, what should we be exposing them to as far as questions, value, planning techniques, Every single time we start to brainstorm and come up with these questions, we go back to time. Mm-hmm. We need to be helping people save money on taxes. The less you pay in income tax, the more money you're going to have left over for income and more money for your family. How are you going to produce safe income? How is your money invested? And is all this set up accordingly per IRS regulations to make sure that your estate is going to transfer correctly? So I think everybody needs to ask the question, you know, how am I positioned for taxes, income, money, and estate planning? And every time we try to design some list of questions for our clients, we go back to time, and that's why I built that.
Comes back to that simple formula.
That's exactly good. Right, yeah.
Speaking of the book, by the way, you can pick that up when you come in for a visit and an appointment. Just get in touch with Frank the same ways that we mentioned a few moments ago.
That's right.
Well, Frank, before we turn the page to our next segment, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a few moments, and then we've got a great listener question and viewer question to cover a little bit later in the show. Exciting announcement. You
yes,
guys, you've got a little something hanging
third
out here.
Third time in a row, Walter.
Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so every year you either get the Times Call, which is now taken over by the Boulder Daily Camera, or you get the Boulder Weekly. So 3 years in a row, we've won Best of Boulder, so East Boulder County. So Best of Boulder 3 years in a row, 3 out of 4 years since they've offered it. And we've been Best Financial Advisor in Longmont 3 years in a row as well. So so very excited
That's
about
awesome.
That. Yeah, it is pretty cool. Yeah, it's nice to see that the value we add to our clients and the work that we do, you know, is appreciated out in the community. So yeah.
That's great. Glad you guys got that honor and you're in the paper, you're in the magazine,
yeah,
you're
you
official now.
So
yeah, pull it up. I can stall while you pull up the picture. Yeah, absolutely.
Just play some music or something.
We can sing. No, I'm not singing.
Yeah,
we
won't sing. Yeah. How about that? Can you see
there it is. Oh, right there in the corner.
Yeah. Oh,
beautiful. Oh, I got the whole team on there.
You got the whole team on there. Well, it's the team that makes it work, right?
It's the team that makes
it work. So right there. So
they're the ones that make the trains run on time. Right?
That's right. Exactly.
Well, very good. Congratulations to you and the rest of the team at Oliver Asset Management. Very cool. Best of Boulder, third year in a row. Best financial advisor. Very cool. All right. Let's get to know you a little bit better, Frank. All right, Frank, here is my question for you this week. If you were an incredible gardener, are you an incredible gardener, by the way?
I used to think I was.
So you're kind of qualified to actually answer this question.
I have grown plants.
Okay. If you were growing plants again, but you could only grow one plant, but you grew the best, you were at the state fair and you had the number one, whatever it is, what plant would you just be amazing at growing?
Probably any kind of pepper.
Pepper.
So my wife is a huge fan of hot peppers.
Yeah.
So probably the jalapeno, to be quite honest.
I mean, it's the best. Yeah.
Or, you know, or a combination of the jalapeno maybe blended with some other green chilies, because who does not love pork green chili?
Yeah.
Right.
I've had to learn moving out here. I've had to learn the culture of pork green chili.
Yeah. I'll hook you up. Yeah.
Nice.
I'm kind of an aficionado.
Okay. Very nice. Yeah. We had chili last night, actually.
Did you really?
Yes.
Green chili.
Not green chili. This is a recipe from Connie's brother-in-law, and we've now just saved it and go back to it every time we make chili. But it's got poblanos in it. Yeah, Connie, my wife Connie. So it's got poblanos, serrano peppers, jalapenos, and Anaheim peppers in it.
Nice.
And there's this whole technique behind roasting them before you mix it in.
Oh, totally. Did you bring me some?
No. Unfortunately, she made it for work, so I was actually stealing a bowl because it's supposed to be for a work party.
Isn't it funny how we have to steal our own food?
We have to steal our own
food. Right,
I'm like, I bought all the ingredients.
Right.
I'm getting a bowl out of this.
Hook me up, right? Just give me a bowl of chili.
Awesome. I'm right there with you. I'd go with peppers. If I could be good at one thing, I would just grow that. So, or mushrooms. I like mushrooms. I'd put those in anything.
Oh, really?
I'm a mushroom guy.
Oh, they're the worst.
Yeah.
The worst.
We can't be friends anymore.
So jalapenos and mushrooms in the chili. Okay.
Yeah, we do put mushrooms in our chili. Yeah.
Can we still be friends though?
Yeah, we can.
Right,
we can. We have the common ground on the chilies part.
That's right.
So. Awesome. All right, well, it's time to answer a great viewer question, and this one's coming to us from David. So, David, let's get to it. You can submit questions online at oliverassetmanagement.com. Just look for the contact form there. All right, this one's from David. David says, I just turned 72 and I'm about to retire. So David's worked decently into what would be traditionally retirement age already. He says, I recently took a look at how much I'll have to start withdrawing from my IRAs and 401k because I'm old and they're forcing me to take withdrawals. Between my Social Security and the money they're forcing me to take out, I'll have a higher income in retirement than I have while working right now. Can they really make me withdraw that much?
We kind of covered this a little bit earlier in the podcast, didn't we?
Yeah.
About folks that have as much income in retirement as they do when they're working. So this is a common problem with a lot of my clients. So David, let me answer this for you. Yes, they can make you take out that much.
That part's easy to answer.
Sorry to answer that in that manner, but
thanks for the question, David. Thanks, we'll see you next time.
Yeah, good luck with that. Yeah. So the IRS has a particular formula that they're going to make you pull out X amount of dollars every year from those plans. If you don't know, they've just lowered this. But in the past, if you didn't take out the correct amount from that IRA, it was a 50% hit. It's a 50% tax penalty. It's the biggest tax penalty in the IRS code. So they're really, really serious about making sure you take those tax-deferred dollars from the 401k or IRA plans. And
that's worse than an overdraft fee. I mean, that's just criminal.
I know.
But they did lower that.
They did lower that. I think the penalty now is 30%.
Still significant.
It's huge. Yeah. And the IRS has been doing some, you know, showing you some love, if you will, as far as not making you pay that penalty due to COVID and people being a little upset and sick and everything else. But yeah, those days come to an end, and the penalty is gonna continue moving forward here. So unfortunately, yes, you do have to take those distributions. It's based off IRS law. Mm-hmm. Don't miss them. You are gonna pay a penalty, and you do have to pay taxes. So again, David. If you're not 72 yet or 73, because they just changed that rule again as far as when you have to start taking these, and it does look you just turned 72. So, yep. Sorry, David.
Yeah, got to take them out.
Give us a call
if
you have any questions, though. We may be able to help with deferring some of that. Maybe you can do some charitable giving on that, some QCDs or some other strategies. So.
I think that's the important thing to highlight here, David, is that when and anybody else that's in this situation, because like you said, more and more clients are falling into this where maybe not even at 72, but just at some point in retirement, hey, I'm making more than I did when I was working just because of what I'm having to take out. So if you're in that situation, just have a realization that you've got to get more creative with your planning.
Right.
And somebody like Frank can help you then figure out all those alternative ways to use those funds and use them in an efficient manner.
Yeah, and if you are charitably inclined, there are some really, really powerful charitable strategies out there that will reduce those taxes if you are already 72. So on a serious note, absolutely, there are still some strategies out there you can utilize.
Perfect. David, probably just best to take a specific look at your situation here. So again, if you want to get in touch with Frank, any questions from today's episode or a planning topic that might be on your mind, don't hesitate to chat about it. You can talk one-on-one by calling 720-897-TIME or go online to oliverassetmanagement.com. Just check the episode description for all the contact information. Well, thanks so much for the help today, Frank. You had a great episode with you, and we'll talk
again
soon.
Good talking to you. All right, Walter. Sounds good. Take care.
We'll see everybody next time right back here on the Time Blueprint. Yep, bye. Advisory services offered through Creative One Wealth, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Creative One Wealth, LLC, and Oliver Asset Management are unaffiliated entities. Licensed insurance professional. Respond and learn how financial products, including life insurance and annuities, can be used in various planning strategies for retirement. The information contained herein is based on our understanding of current tax law. The tax and legislative information may be subject to change and different interpretations. We recommend that you seek professional tax advice for applicability to your personal situation.